You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, it's worth reminding ourselves that back in December of 2001, Eskom was awarded the prestigious title of Global Power Company of the Year at the Financial Times Global Energy Awards in New York. And the judges praised the parastatals' technical excellence, its maintenance and operation, while at the same time providing affordable electricity to consumers. Fast forward to where we are today, and we've got News 24 publishing the first of a series of exposés based on the Eskom files. It's called A Leaked Treasure Trove of Eskom Documents, including thousands of pages of forensic reports, emails, bank statements and payment analysis in its possession, and probes by law firm Bowmans. And the red flags are all in connection with Eskom contracts worth more than 178.6 billion rand. That's the headline-grabbing issue here. Eskom has reported more than 110 criminal matters to the police since 2018, with an additional 60 cases reported to the NPA by the SIU. And it's the value of dodgy red flag tenders awarded by Eskom over the past decade to companies, including multinational conglomerates, that are tainted by corruption or misconduct, while we can't keep the lights on. And investigations into the rot at Eskom have only just begun after attempts by senior managers to shut down these anti-corruption probes have been foiled over the last 2 years. And it's really at the heart of the capture of Eskom, all about slush funds set up by senior executives into which contractors paid millions of rands to bankroll their luxurious lifestyles. And it vindicates independent energy analyst and former Eskom insider Ted Blom, who has for years been banging the drum and flagging the extent of corrupt tenders inside Eskom. Ted, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening.
Now, reading the so-called Eskom files as News 24 in partnership with this global organization has released today, do you feel a sense of vindication?
Somewhat, Michael, but it's still only a drop in the ocean. I'm sitting on information that indicates that there's another 800 billion rands of corruption that still needs to be brought to the surface and investigated.
Another 800 billion rand. I mean, that is just a staggeringly large figure. Let's just stick on this this 178 billion. What stands out for you in this probe conducted by Bowmans?
Okay, so Bowmans approached me some time ago, and they wanted my files after I gave a speech at a conference. At that time, I said, listen, you know, I've worked really hard to try and get these things together. They weren't cooperative in terms of remunerating me for the work that I'd done before I handed the files over. And I then went on and I had the Tegeta Eskom supply contract for 10 billion rand cancelled. With pro bono work by Atika Davies from Pretoria and myself. We handed it to the SIU, took them a year, they got that cancelled. So that was 10 billion rand that we can say was safely saved from the Gupta days. Then on top of that, I mean, I stand by what I say, the initial Medupi contract tender, which I saw with my own eyes, was at 34 billion. The current Medupi cost to completion is over 200 billion. They're standing at about 175 billion where we stand today, and the project is not yet complete. And the same goes for Kusile, where there was no tender. I repeat, no tender. And nobody seems to have taken cognizance of that. This was Brian Dalmas' invention and gift to the South African nation. And, of course, that went awry right from the beginning. Because Eskom didn't have the budget for it. The banks had seen that there was major corruption going on and refused to come to the party unless under duress. Then at Ngula, the Ngula initial tender was 9 billion. It ballooned to 40 billion rand by the time Mr. Zuma's cozy friends got their fingers into that pie. So the amounts are all over the show are ginormous, Michael, and they all should be investigated, cancelled. And with that, we would have a total reduction of the Eskom debt from 420 or 30 billion down to about 40 billion where it was before the corruption got out of hand. Needless to say, I haven't calculated in my number the nuclear corruption of 2008, in which certain peoples walked away with $2.5 billion, including members of government, as well as fronting by some of the major coal companies prior to 2008. And I have a number of a couple of hundred million rand, which is agreed, and but there's never been settled between Eskom, Minister Barbara Hogan, and the supply company involved, which was South 32 now. It was part of BHP, Billiton Coal at that stage.
And as we know, has created Cerruti Resources and Mike Techie's coal behemoth that now has picked up so much of those old assets as well. It certainly corroborates what one Eskom manager told News 24, that, and to quote here, there almost isn't a single contract at Eskom that is not tainted by corruption in some way or another. Even the tea and sugar contract at Megawatt Park seems bent, but we only have so many resources. Do we go after that, or do we go after the big contracts at Kusile? How should such a hive of corruption be broken down? How would you do it?
Michael, Eskom has got 450 depots or sites around the country, and I can probably guarantee you, I've had feedback from a number of them, but I think it's endemic. At each one of those sites, there are local contracts for lawn services, catering, security, vehicles, etc. I can probably guarantee you that there would be corruption at each one of those levels. I suggested to Obrosa and to Mabuza when he was still around there, and nobody seems to have picked up on his conflict of interest. I mean, he ran two of the biggest contracts within Eskom, and he was chairman of Eskom at the same time. But nevertheless, I mentioned to them that it's impossible for one person to actually solve the problem. I offered to bring in my previous team, which was part of the A team when Eskom was on its way to winning that award that you mentioned up front. Initially, that was accepted by Mabuza, but when it came to putting the pen down to paper, I was left high and dry by Mabuza and Mr. Pakamani Khadebe at that stage, although the discussions were mainly with Mr. Mabuza. So I don't think you can have one person, even Bowman's. I mean, Bowman's came in cold, and they've managed to collect the 178 billion, and you need to accentuate the B and not the M on that number, or worth of corruption. And the Eskom was only charged 11 people. I mean, it's an absolute disgrace, of which five left the organization more than a year and a half ago, and they haven't been charged. So I think it will take a concern. And Eskom, let me just put it on record, Eskom internal audit is as corrupt as the rest of Eskom. And I've got proof of that as well. Let's not go there. I think you need somebody independent. I know they've got the SIU with an office inside Eskom. But the problem is those people are all cold turkey. They don't know what they're looking for. For instance, in the Matiti contract, right up front, when Mr. Brian Darmus, and I mention that name again, swapped the contracts, you will know that Alstom tendered for the boiler and Hitachi tendered for the generators. Mr. Dharma swapped the contract because Chancellor House was involved and they wanted the biggest slice of the cherry. And that's where 4 billion rand, in that first handshake, 4 billion rand went missing.
Yeah, Chancellor House is almost the original sin when it comes to what's going on and wrong with Eskom, and indeed setting and laying the groundwork for state capture as well, and why the fortunes of the country are so tethered to what goes on at Eskom as well. That said, and let's just zoom out a little bit further, because the whole energy complex right now is so politically fraught, and it's littered with lobbyists and vested interests. Do you believe that the claims made by DNG against Minerals and Energy Minister Gwede Mantashe in the car powership case are correct, or do you just see this as sort of ANC factional battle stuff?
I've known Mr. Mbalaki for 15 years. Although we've never had a business relationship, it's been close on a number of occasions. So there's not too much love lost between DNG and myself. I would have liked to have been part of their effort, but I'm not. But nevertheless, in my eyes, Mr. Mbalaki has got the credibility to prove, I think, what he said in his court papers in court. And I tie it back to my allegations, together with Safti and NUM, where we laid criminal charges against Mr. Dereka and his Eskom executive on the Duva transaction with Cerruti. We laid charges against Mr. Gwede Mantashe for approving the Section 11 in favor of Cerruti, despite the fact that there was no BEE element or trust for the workers or the local community in place. So Mr. Mantashe has got a lot to explain. And it's unfortunate that it's a minister of government that managed to get his hands tainted in this thing. I mean, it also goes back to the Maduti catering contract, which Mr. Mantashe's wife has had. And that's been in the news, but it's also conveniently forgotten, running to more than 1.5 billion rand a year. I don't know if that contract is still in place, but it ran for many, many years.
And people forget about that, the implication of the minister's wife in those catering contracts as well. Just with a minute to go, Ted, and you know, someone listening to this from the outside who might not be familiar with the details and the minutiae would be forgiven for thinking that here we have this new broom in André de Ruyter coming in, trying to clean up the corrupt stables inside Megawatt Park, and doing so slowly but steadily and surely. What you're saying is that this is just the absolute tip of the iceberg, and in fact, that not enough is being done. Are you confident that André de Ruyter is going to be able to turn things around at Eskom?
Well, he's already given up on the coal contracts, and he said so publicly, despite being introduced to the media a year and a half ago as Mr. Coal. I don't want to put the dirty washing on the line, but I offered my services to Eskom at that stage to Mr. de Ruyter, and I was told I wouldn't be needed because he's got all the levers in his hand, and he understands the industry inside out, and he was Mr. Coal. Well, clearly, there's a problem with that perception now, because he's come back to say that he hasn't been able to cut the coal prices, despite acknowledging that they were over the top. And he's committed himself to pushing through the Sereti deal, which has, as his partners, Mr. Mantashe's wife, Butter Trust, the ANC Investment Trust, that's alternative to Tebe Investments as well. And those two are the alternative to Chancellor House. And a whole host of other suspicious figures, including the participants in the Optimum deal of 2010, which cost Eskom more than 10 billion rand in what is clearly a weekend sweetheart deal at that time. So, I don't think Mr. de Ruyter is winning the war. And in fact, I think he's sitting on a ship, which he probably is battling to control. The corruption is ongoing as far as I'm concerned. We haven't even touched on the 800 billion, and I'll be laying charges against Eskom's finance department in that regard within the next week or two. I just need to finalize some documents, and those charges will be up. And I'm not alone in that. I've got some ratepayers associations who have agreed to follow through on those charges.
Ted Blom, independent energy consultant and someone who has been like a terrier with a bone when it comes to exposing Eskom and corruption. It's a dirty five-letter word, Eskom, and there just seems to be so much corruption inside the organization, one doesn't know where to begin.